Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
You know, we were talking tonight about how you could be your own grandpa, and I knew there was an answer to that somewhere. It's from that song right there from Ray Stevens. I don't recommend that, though. My goodness. Lord, have mercy. I have a grandson who's 8 years old, and I have a boy who's 2 and 4, so that makes my son, Jeremiah and Judah, my grandson's uncle. So Judah is 2, and his nephew is 8. That's what happens when you have children with like a 30-year spread apart. My goodness. We started young when I was 19, and then now I'm 51, doing it all over again. Everybody, welcome aboard.
I understand she's expecting again.
Brother, we just found out last night, confirmed it. Now, she had the test at home, and we went in last night to get the sonogram to confirm, and there it was. Baby coming. So if you hear dry heaving in the background, it's called morning sickness. It's not the COVID. Everybody, welcome aboard. We're going to get started tonight. Welcome aboard. We've got Professor Tom Mack. Tom, welcome back to the show. He's got a lecture he's going to bring on the Infinity Code. And we have this streaming as both audio and video. There's a link in the chat room and up on my Facebook wall if you want to follow my video. Everybody's welcome. With that, I'm going to step back. You got all the time you want, my brother. You want to open us in prayer?
Yes, Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we come before you and we lift up this lecture. And tonight we have the chance to show everyone that the Bible is indeed your word and that every word is placed where it's supposed to be placed. And not only that, you showed us how even as we translate it from language to language, you're still in control of it. And we just thank you that you regard your word above your name and you protect your word. Not too many people believe it right now, but I pray tonight as people listen to this and see this video that they will believe that your Bible is your word and that it's that you have protected your word over the centuries. We just thank you. Amen.
I say amen to that. My brother, the mic is yours. Welcome.
Okay, we got a lot to go through, and I mentioned some of these scriptures in the first program, so I won't really go through them again. Also, I wanted to mention to people that I've added the Paleo-Hebrew letters. These are probably the ones Moses got when he got the Ten Commandments on the tablets. This is what he had and how he wrote. He didn't write this. And we got, and they all have different meanings, the letters. And we see Zayin, which is where we get our letter Z. Chaf, we really don't have a letter for it. Taf is a letter T. Yod, very important letter. It's got a value of 10. It's also the first letter in Yahushua and Yahuwah. Kaf, open hand. Lamed, well, we talked about that in the first one. Mem, Nun, Samek, Ayin. It's very interesting with Ayin that when they write the Hebrew letter, It's also the diagram of how the optic nerves go from your eyes, get together, and then go into the brain. It's exactly anatomically correct. Pei, which means to talk. Tezadi. I mentioned in the first program, this is a letter that doesn't translate well to English because it has a TS sound. You have to try to pronounce TS together. So most of the time we just use the S and forget the T when we translate it to English. An example, Saddam, as in Saddam Hussein. Actually, that first letter is not an S, it's a Tezadi, because they also have it in Arabic as well. Quaff, resh, sheen. Think of your teeth when you think of sheen. And then tav, which we mentioned before. Mark or covenant. And you see here I should actually get the pen out here and you'll see here the little X. X marks the spot. And so we need to be a little careful how we do those X's. Except maybe on treasure maps. And this is the transliterations. Aleph is either an A or an E sound. Beth is a B. Gimel is a G. Daleth a D. But now let's get to the infinity code. It is the proof of the Bible's divine origin. And I guess before I go too far, I should clearly tell you, this is not something I discovered. The man who discovered it, he started to present his ideas on the Prophecy Club years ago, back in the 90s. And before long, he started running into a problem. And that is, he had a high school education. He knew nothing of statistics. And he needed a statistician such as myself to actually go through and verify it. So he gets on the phone, calls Al Cuppet. And Al Cuppet says, well, you've got to get a hold of Tom Mack. He's probably the only one who has a clue of understanding this and is going to understand, be able to verify it for you. So he calls me, probably the most inopportune time he could have called. I was getting ready to run out the door and hop in my car and travel 250 miles to my sister's house. And I wasn't going to answer the phone, but suddenly something in the back of my head said, go answer it. So I did. And here he was on the phone. He told me all about it. He was so excited. He wanted me to pick up and go to Topeka, Kansas in 3 days. Well, since I had other commitments, I explained to him I couldn't do it. And unfortunately, he was traveling mostly the East Coast. So it wasn't going to happen. But then his last trip was in South Bend, Indiana. Well, I could work that out because I have a couple of friends in Chicago, still do. And they needed me to come out and handle a couple of things for them. So I said, I will go out in a month. I can go to South Bend, Indiana. And they were going to do a taping that night. But I would be there and we could talk after the program. Well, I got there. I didn't realize at the time that South Bend, Indiana goes on Eastern Standard Time in the winter. I'd only ever been there in late summer. In fact, I went for a Notre Dame game when I was very young, and I remembered it to be Central Time. So I show up an hour late for this guy's presentation. I watched a good portion of it, but I missed it. But I went up afterwards, apologized to him for being late, and asked him, could I take him out to breakfast? And then I would get him to the airport so he could fly home. Well, nobody minds a free breakfast. So I went over, picked him up in the morning. I don't even know where we went anymore. I think we might have just stayed in the hotel coffee shop. We had our breakfast, and then he started showing this thing to me. And I found it remarkable. Still a little skeptical, even though I'd seen the presentation. And I started to wonder, because the first thing a statistician always thinks about is somebody's cherry-picking their data. So I told him, okay, I can do this. I'll meet you in a month, because he was going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I took everything home, all my notes, and for the next month, my brother-in-law and I worked on it. We came up with 50 words, and we tested it. And all 50 words tested out. We were both shocked. My brother-in-law especially, because he was more nominal Christian type, and he wasn't sure the Bible was anything but just a book that had been put together over the centuries. And this changed his mind. So what is the Infinity Code? It has three assumptions to it. One, all Hebrew letters have a numeric value. Therefore, if all Hebrew letters have numeric values, all Hebrew words must have numeric values as well. And if you take the value of a Hebrew word and go to that chapter in the Bible, you're going to find one of three things: the actual word in the text, a synonym, or sometimes, strangely enough, an antonym in the text. Or what's more common is a discussion of the word or its concept in the text. So first off, we need to look at the values. Aleph has a value of 1, Beth 2. But what's interesting is you get to Yod, it has a value of 10. And then Kaf has a value of 20. Lamed goes down to 30. Until you get to Quaf, it has a value of 100. Resh has a value of 200. Sheen, 300. And Tav, 400. Thinking of numbering, the Hebrew word for numbering is Sephar. And sure enough, it takes us to, let's get the three letters. Resh, which has a value of 200 from the chart. Pei, which has a value of 80, and Samek, which has a value of 60. Sum those two together, the little sigma here, means in mathematics, the sum. It comes to a value of 340. If you look up 340 in the Bible, the 340th chapter is 1 Chronicles 2. Let's go look at 1 Chronicles 2. And what in the world are we doing here? We're talking numbers. And not only that, we're talking about numbering Jesse's children. Firstborn Eliab, secondborn Abinadab, Shema the third, Nethanel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Ozem the sixth, and David was the seventh. Isn't that interesting? We learn from Ed Velo's book that seven is the number of perfection. And here it is, just another verification that indeed David is the perfect son of Jesse. And the sisters are named. He had two sisters, poor great gals, have to take care of seven guys. Numbering also Sephora, that's plural. It has a summation of 345. And guess what we're doing? We've got the number, word number in there, and we're counting the number of men for war. Because this time it was okay. And then we're reckoning by genealogies and counting them up. Let's look at a very simple word. God. Al. Aleph Lamed. It has a value of 31. And it turns out that in Genesis 31, the word Elohim appears, which is a name for our Heavenly Father, often used in Genesis. And here we see three already. Here's some more. In this case, I am the El of Bethel, in case there's any disagreements. Elohim, El again. Elohim three times in verse 42. Elohim, Elohim. Well, let's do the math. There's a thing we do in mathematics called expected value. If I calculate, well, let's do the calculation. There's 2,697 times the word Elohim is used in the Old Testament. There are 929 chapters in the Old Testament. So I would expect the word Elohim to be in a chapter of the Bible three times, just based on that mathematics. But now we need to figure out deviations from normal. Well, it turns out there's 16 occurrences of Elohim in chapter 31. That's five times the number expected. We go a little further. There's 50 chapters in Genesis. Elohim is mentioned 235 times. So we should expect it 4.7 times in chapter 31. Instead, we find it 16 times. And the number of standard deviations from the mean, 5.76, which means it's 99.99999, unlikely to happen. So this is telling you there's something here to this. Let's do some more words. The Hebrew word shabal, which means to offend or take a pledge. And we add up the math on it, and we come to get 40. Genesis 40. What does Genesis 40 talk about? Right in the first verse. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord. And, okay, that's one word. You go to chapter 14, or verse 14. What does Joseph say to these two guys? Or say to the butler who is restored to his job? Make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house or prison. Well, did the butler make good on his pledge? Not for 2 years. So here's a chapter, and suddenly not only is the word there, but the whole chapter is about these two concepts. All. And it's a simple Hebrew word, kol. And it's in chapter 50 of Genesis. So is morn, hama. Here's two words. Think we're going to find both of them in Genesis 50? I think so. Because this is this is when Joseph took a whole entourage from Egypt to bury his father Jacob. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And with him went all the servants of Pharaoh and all the house of Joseph. They all went. This is, it keeps happening. I know we've only done a few, but I've got 200 slides for this. Matei, which means rod. And if you add this one up, it goes to Exodus 4. And what do we see? The first time we talk about the rod of Aaron, which is now in the, still in the Ark of the Covenant. But Exodus 4 is the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Here's another word for Lord. He's called Adonai. This time it has a value of 65. And we go to Exodus 15. And who is Lord? This is the Song of Moses. Yahuwah is there. He's our El. Yahuwah is a man of war. Yahuwah is his name. O Yahuwah is become glorious in power, thy right hand. If that's not enough, here's some more. And there we got some more. A little bit overkill. B'nai, which means understanding. You may remember B'nai B'rith. We'll get breath a little later. But we talk about understanding. Heth, Nun, Yod, Beth adds up to 67. And what happens when we go to Exodus 17? We find stand, and then under. So it comes out a little different than what you might think. And it's weird. Sometimes it works that way, but it comes out. The next Hebrew word for make is kun. And this one has a value of 76. And we go to Exodus 26. And what are they doing? They are building the tabernacle. And they had to make the curtains. They had to make the loops of blue to hook the curtains up to the rod. And I mean, this is a woman's wonderland. All the things they were doing, yet it was men in the Bible who did it. So I don't know that I'd want to call those guys sissies, considering some of the things they had to do. And here they are making curtains, making tatches of brass, making loops, making. And they made bars of shittim wood for each side of the tabernacle. They make boards and sockets. This is quite an enterprise. And make is all through this chapter. Congregation. And we got here the word Edah. Hey, Daleth, Ayin. And the value for that is 79. Go to Exodus 29. Sure enough, they're talking about how they're to operate in the tabernacle of the congregation and how they're to sacrifice the bullock at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the word is all through Exodus 29. Now, you remember in the old beach movies, they had the great kahuna? Well, where did they steal it from? Right here, from Hebrew. They're not that creative in movies. They just steal whenever they can. And do you think they gave the Bible any credit? No. Well, its value is 80. You go to Exodus 30. And it happens in one verse where they minister unto me in the priest's office. And that's what the kahuna did. Paz, Pezayim, has a value of 87. It means pure gold, not gold, pure gold. So we have to make a distinction. And sure enough, in Exodus 37, all throughout this chapter, we're talking about pure gold. Everything made of pure gold. The candlesticks were made of pure gold. That would be 23 karat gold. Next one. On, upon, in addition to. That's Ayin Lamed. And those two letters come up to 100 in value. So we get to go to the third book of the Bible, Leviticus chapter 10. And here it is, talking about going out from the door of the congregation. And they're not to go in. Yes, but let your brother in the whole house, they're supposed to do it outside the tabernacle. Outside or withuts, or without. Here's shoots. Again, we add it up. Total of 104. Go to Leviticus 14. And suddenly here's without, twice in the 10th verse. Without the city in the 40th verse. And again in the next verse, keeps happening. To go up or to ascend. This one has three letters, Ayin, Lamed, He, value of 105. That takes you to Leviticus 15. And when you come before Yahuwah, you ascend. And you three times in this verse, the priest makes an offering and they ascend before Yahuwah. People, Am, Ayin Mame, value of 110. Go to Leviticus 20. And suddenly, we've got some laws about. In one case, in fact, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Molech. If anybody gives his seed unto Molech, they are surely to be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I just wonder why they didn't do it to Solomon. Because he sacrificed a Molech. And again, the people are sometimes to enforce the law. And here again, we talk about how if somebody chases or starts seeking information from familiar spirits and wizards, our Heavenly Father will set his face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. It's just... And then we go to the next one, Ana, which means answer. That takes us to Numbers 8. And here we are. We have Yahuwah speaking to Moses, and Moses then turning around and speaking to Aaron and telling him what to do. So he answered by speaking to Moses, and then Moses answered back as Yahuwah commanded Moses. Alal, and that's in Numbers 13. It's got a value of 130. And here we are, children of Israel. Children of Israel, children of Israel, children of Israel. More children. Here again, we're doing two slides. Meshach. Meshach means to convert. And it has a value of 130. Or covert, I'm sorry. And it goes to Numbers 13. And oh boy, here we go. We got sight in here. I.E. Remember, I talked about the optic nerves and how they had it pegged years before we dissected anybody and studied that optic nerve. You go to Numbers 13. And what were they doing? Moses sent out people to spy out the land. So they had to use their eyes to search. So they searched out the land of Canaan. And then guess what they did? They made an evil report. In fact, here we go. Naphtali, commit adultery. And that's Numbers 14. And what word gets used there? The 10 spies who gave the evil report? Now everybody bears their whoredoms, and their carcasses will be wasted in the wilderness. Asaph means took up in past tense. And here we go. Let's go to Numbers 24. We sort of studied that a couple of weeks ago when we did Balaam. And what is Balaam constantly doing in this chapter? He's taking up a parable. And this is the prophecy, the end time prophecy. Here it is pegged in Numbers 24. This one's an interesting one. Sona means sheep. Has a value of 145. So we go to Numbers 28. And you know what? You don't find sheep in this chapter at all. But you find lambs all over the place. And if that isn't bad enough, you see a lambs. And if that isn't enough, there's a third page of them. Nafal, cast, throw down. It has a value of 160. So for the first time, we're going to Deuteronomy 7. But Deuteronomy 7 has another word, salem. And, there's another word. You think these three words can wander into Deuteronomy 7. Sure enough, here are images. You're cutting them down. images again. And you're breaking them down. Soothsayer, Kassam, that's what they called Balaam after he did his little deed for the Moabites. Kassam has a value of 200. That takes us to Joshua 13. First time we've gone out of the Torah. Still going to work? Sure enough. Joshua 13:22. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer. He wasn't even called a prophet anymore. Harag means slayer. We look at that value, 208. Go to Joshua 21. And what is Joshua doing? He is setting up cities of refuges for slayers, people who kill somebody and it isn't murder. So what do the people do that are slayers? They get sent to a city of refuge. And they designated, I think, 3 cities or 5 cities where people could go. And the families could not follow them into these cities. And here's 2 more verses with slayer in it. Sharah means be hot. Now we're getting into Judges 2. There's another word in Judges 2. Terad means to drive. And sure enough, here it is. And the anger of Yahuwah was hot against Israel. Because what did they do? They started worshiping the idols of the countries that they just conquered. And he also said, I will not drive them out from before you. Because you didn't do the job, so there'll be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare unto you. You guys didn't do your job. Now you're going to have to pay. Next word, Gibura, which means might or strength. And the sum is 216. And here you go. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. And that's part of the Song of Deborah. And now we've got him, Zakar. Zayin Kaf Resh comes to a value of 227. That's Judges 16. And sure enough, we're talking about Samson. And the Philistines are doing anything they can to get rid of this man, Samson. And sure enough, Samson plays games with Delilah, but he should. He shouldn't even be with her. He has a wife already. And here we go. We can't do it once. We're going to do it about 15 times. Here's 5 pages full of them. Say the words Amar. And the value is 241. Go to 1 Samuel 5. And what are they doing? They are talking. What has happened? The Philistines have taken the Ark of the Covenant. And now they're talking between themselves. What are we going to do with this thing? Everywhere they take it, everywhere they take this Ark of the Covenant, everybody gets sick. And sure enough, They take it to Ekron, and the people said, what are you trying to do, kill us? So finally they said, send away the ark of the Elohim of Israel and let it go again into its own country, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout the city. The hand of Yahuwah was heavy there. Here we go. Valiant One, Erel, has a value of 232. Somebody says there aren't vowels in Hebrew. I'm sorry. And we're valiant. And here again, the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest. There we go. Shapak, which means smite with a scab. That's got a value of 388. Go to 1 Chronicles 21. And what do we talk about? A great plague. And they shall have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of sickness day by day. Shaphat means to be judged or to execute judgment. And for that one, we have a value of 389. Go to 1 Chronicles 22. And what is the theme of that? It's Yehu. He's executing judgment upon the house of Ahab. And he didn't stop until he'd wiped out every son and ended that awful dynasty. Shemin means anointing. A lot of people would like to have that anointing. It has a value of 390. Go to 2 Chronicles 23. And what did they do? This was when Yehoiada, a small child, was saved from the hands of Queen Athaliah, who nearly destroyed the house of David. And Yehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, Elohim, save the king. Here's another one. Yehoshua means deliverance, salvation, or save. Has a value of 391. 2 Chronicles 24. But the salvation is not one we were expecting. Very famous verse. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and Yahuwah delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken Yahuwah, Elohim of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. Sheba means seventh. Interesting number. Sigma value 372. Goes to 2 Chronicles 5. And sure enough, the seventh month is when all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king. Kasaf means to use witchcraft. As a value of 400, sends you to 2 Chronicles 33, where you find the story of Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget. And sure enough, what did Wonder Boy do? He used witchcraft. He observed times. He used enchantments. He was the worst of all the bad kings of Israel, of Judah. The word curse, arar, has a value of 308. That sends us to 2 Chronicles 34. And sure enough, after everything Manasseh did, Yahuwah says, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. But the man who asked for them to read this book and report back to him was Josiah. But because Josiah was a good king, he did not have this happen in his time. Interesting thing. Shaitan, or Satan as we like to call him, he's an adversary. He resists the will of our Heavenly Father. And he has, his name is Satan. That's straight out of Hebrew. Its value is 359. Goes to 1 Chronicles 21. Sure enough, first time Satan is mentioned in the Bible is in 1 Chronicles 21. One of the things that was interesting is, why is Satan not mentioned in the Torah? Why is it not mentioned in any book prior to the Babylonian captivity? Because Chronicles was written after the Babylonian captivity. And when this story is mentioned in First and Second Samuel, the Satan part is not discussed. Also, it's interesting that 3 out of 4 years, the 359th day of the year, is Christmas. Some people celebrate it as the birth of Horus, the child of Cain. In other words, Samal, which means on the left. It has a value of 371. We go 2 Chronicles 4. And sure enough, as they're building the temple, they have on the left mentioned three times Saba. In fact, that's the only time on the left is used in the entire Old Testament. Saba. It has a value of 372, means to be filled. There's a lot of people who would like to be filled. And here is the house of Yahuwah was filled with a cloud. And the priests couldn't stand to minister in the temple by reason of the cloud. And that's Solomon's temple. Here's an interesting one. Be carried, hold up, or lifted up. It's called Nasa in Hebrew. Can anyone think of a Nasa that lifts things up like rockets? Do you think they maybe thought about this when they named Nasa and then came up with the words afterwards? It's got a value of 351. Go to 1 Chronicles 13. And here we are. We're carrying the Ark of Elohim in a cart out of the house of Abinadab. And the Levites are the only ones that can touch the Ark. But when the oxen stumbled and the ark was going to fall to the ground, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark. And because he wasn't authorized, he died. So David didn't take it home. He carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, a Gittite. And guess what? They did rather well for the 6 months they had the ark. So then David decided otherwise, but here's carried or hold or carried. Araph, behead or to cut off at the neck or decapitate, has a value of 350. Go to 1 Chronicles 12. And sure enough, it's what the Philistines started thinking when they realized maybe we better not let David go to battle with us, because he might fall to his master Saul, and we would lose our heads. Moisture. Lashad. Lamed Sheen Daleth. Has a value of 334. Go to 1 Kings 21. And women, don't argue with your husband when he does the dishes. And when he dries them, he wipes the dish, and then he turns it upside down and wipes it again. The Bible says that's how a man does dishes. Don't try to change him. Okay? Let's go to Shakira, which means darkness. Has a value of 333. 2 Kings 20 is a chapter. And what does it talk about? Hezekiah said, okay, you're going to save my life. It's one thing for a shadow to go forward 10 degrees. I want you to put the sun back 10 degrees. And sure enough, that's what our Heavenly Father did. The shadow is all through that, and that's what's disgusted. Shawl means to ask, to pray, or request. That has a value of 331. So we need to go to 1 Kings 18. But there's another word in here. Grove. Eshel, it also has a value of 331. So what happened? We have groves. And this is what Hezekiah did. He removed the high places. We talked about that earlier. He broke the images, cut down the groves, and then he got rid of the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Because the children of Israel started burning incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. But it doesn't stop there. Later on in the verse, Rabshakeh's mocking the Israelites. He said, I'll give you 2,000 horses, if you can find guys to ride on them. And here again, I pray thee to thy servants. But I want you to understand the questions that are being asked. And here's what Rabshakeh is saying. Speak now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? He's saying, is there any way you can defeat me? And then they're saying, oh, come on, guys. We've destroyed gods of all these countries that we've invaded. Do you really think your Elohim is any better than ours? And sure enough, what happened to Rabshakeh after mocking God? Hezekiah prayed. And that night, the angel of the Lord struck down 286,000 men. Probably one of the greatest slaughters in the Bible. Healing and health. Lots of people like to be healed and to have good health. Marpe has a value of 321. Go to 1 Kings 8. And what is King Joram doing? He didn't find it out. He went back to be healed of the wounds which the Syrians had given at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And here again, if we can't have health, we're going to have sickness. Remember El Shaddai? Shaddai means almighty. Has a value of 314. Uh-oh, we got not only one word, we got three words. Shabib means flame. And be bowed down and be humbled. Shuach. That's also got a value of 314. Sure enough, it's the story of Ahab sending the troops to apprehend Elijah so he can finally get rid of this prophet that's been a thorn in the side ever since he took the kingship. And sure enough, what happens? The fire comes down from heaven and consumes him. And the fire comes down and they're destroyed. And finally, the third group of 50, he comes to Elijah, but he has a little bit of a brain in his head. He begs to Elijah, please don't kill me. Don't kill my men. Let my life be precious in thy sight. Then Elijah went with him. Be wrapped. Shabash. I think we have some kielbasa that gets wrapped. It has a value of 310. That takes us to 1 Kings 19. But not only that, we have yesh, which means was. Also has a value of 310. And there was a cake baking on the coals. And he cruised the water at his head. And he did eat and drink. And here's was. And here's more was's. And a was and a wrapped in the same verse even. Burn sacrifices or offer sacrifices. Qatar. Interesting, we have a country by that name. And where did the Pope go recently? That I find most interesting of all. He went to Qatar. And what I understand, he did some masses there. Masses are a profane sacrifice. And sure enough, here we go. Offering of the evening sacrifice. Burnt sacrifice. And the sacrifice. This is when Elijah and the prophets of Baal were going head to head. And when the fire came from Yahuwah and consumed Elijah's burnt sacrifice, all the prophets of Baal were killed. Speaking of Elijah, or Elijah, as many people call him, his name means God is Jehovah. And sure enough, he has a value of 46. And sure enough, here am I. I am El, the El of my fathers. Again, come again or carry, deliver. The Hebrew word is shub, has a value of 308. Where do we find that? 1 Kings 17. Come, carried, come to him, and delivered. Covers everything. Fear is Megura. Has a value of 254. And pretty good example. Saul was afraid of David. And David, now, when Saul tried to kill him with a javelin, David avoided his presence. Probably wasn't real confident that moment. How many of you would like to be famous? The Hebrew word is kara, has a value of 301. Go to 1 Kings 10. What are we talking about? The fame of Solomon and the fact that the Queen of Sheba has come to see the fame of Solomon and to ask him tough questions. Speaking of Solomon, his name means peace, has a value of 375. Go to 2 Chronicles 8. And sure enough, this is a listing of all the things Solomon did in Israel. And he did a lot of things. And if you look up Solomon in Greek, you can add up the Greek letters as well. Comes out to 1,260. Where have I seen that number before? I think I've seen it in Daniel, and I've seen it in Revelation. And here again, we're measuring the temple, which is what Solomon is about. And 1,203 days? Maria means fat beast or fatling. Has a value of 251. Go to 1 Samuel 15. And Mora means grief. Also has a value of 251. Sure enough, we have fatlings. Because 1 Samuel 15 is when Saul was ordered by Samuel to go get rid of all the Amalekites. But Saul didn't quite do the job. He spared Agag. He spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings. Because of that, Samuel was grieved and cried unto the Lord all night. And sure enough, Samuel got after Saul, and that was the end of his kingdom for the all intents and purposes. Next one is the word hang, tala. And for the first time, we go to Esther 5. You know, I've run into a lot of people, some of them I respect, that say Esther really shouldn't be in the Bible. Well, the Infinity Code disagrees. Because what is going on in Esther 5? We have Haman, and he's building a gallows 50 cubits high so that he can arrange to have Mordecai hanged. But he didn't get the job done. Tala means to be hanged. Has a sigma value of 435. Takes us to Esther 9. And what happened? This is Esther's request. If it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews, which are in Shushan, and to do tomorrow according to this day's decree, and let Haman's sons be hanged on the gallows. And sure enough, not only was Haman's sons hanged on the gallows then, But in Nazi Germany, at Nuremberg, 10 Nazis were hanged on the gallows. A lot of historians in Israel think that the Nazis were the ancient Amalekites. And that's why you hear them talk about the Amalekites. But I get this feeling sometimes they're painting with a rather large brush. Iveleth means folly, foolish, or foolishness. And sure enough, we go to, this got a value of 437. Takes us to Job 1. And sure enough, after all the bad things that happened to Job, he never charged Elohim foolishly. We want to talk about death. Moth. That value is 446. Goes to Job 10. And sure enough, Job is talking about, before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness is darkness itself and the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Pesa means step. You add it up to 450, go to Job 14. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Now let's look in another word. Hidden, secret, shut out, or stop. Satham has a value of 500. And what do you think the 500th chapter of the Bible is? Psalm 22. And here's another word. Chief, master, governor, keeper, lord, tsar. Also a value of 500. And what do we have? My L, why hast thou forsaken? And he's trusted on Yahuwah. But here we go. For the kingdom is Yahuwah, and he is the governor among the nations. And all they that be fat on the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. That's why we need Yahushua. Shamar means to wait for. Has a value of 540. Go to Psalm 62. My soul waiteth upon Elohim. From him cometh my salvation. My soul, wait thou only upon Elohim, for my expectation is from him. Power to stand. Tekuma. Value of 551. These numbers are getting larger. Go to Psalm 73. One of Asaph's songs. And what do we have here? My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Their eyes stand out. So instead of being steady, we're almost gone. That's the antonym part of it. Rasha means wicked or iniquity. Psalm 92. Sure enough, wicked and iniquity ends up in the same verse. In Psalm 92. Ramuth, lifting up of self. Value of 686. First time we've gone to a prophet, Isaiah. Couldn't prevail against it. Brimstone, gophereth. Go to 693. That's Isaiah 14. And what is we talking about? Hell, Lucifer, hell, are dissolved. And there shall come from the north a smoke. Third, or three, Talaf has a value of 830. That takes us to Ezekiel 28. Took me a while. And we find out, the Son of Man take a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Master Yahuwah. Three things. Sometimes you have to think about it before you find the answer. Taznuth, Zanuth. Fornication or whoredom has a value of 863. Goes to Hosea 1. And what is Hosea doing? Probably the one thing that everybody tell him not to do. Don't take a wife who's been a whore. But that's what he was told to do. And the story of Hosea is about how the Israelites, because of their whoredoms, grieved their heavenly Father. And Hosea lived that grief. Here's the word net. And the word is resheth. Value of 900. Micah 7. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Micah 7 is a very, very interesting chapter. It's worth a read for the whole thing. Because it is the state of this world in the last days. We're now going to the New Testament. Nebraska. Sounds like Nebraska, but it's not. It's got a value of 953. And that goes to Matthew 24. Could it possibly be that the New Testament fits this code? And sure enough, and because iniquity shall abound, love of many shall wax cold. Sharkareth. That's a mouthful. That means black. Has a value of 1,116. Takes you to 1 Thessalonians 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You know, we talk about the thief of the night. But you are children of life, and the children of the day, and we are not of the night, nor of darkness. It fits. And also we'll find a lot of sevens in the Bible. Seven spirits of God. 7 days that our Heavenly Father created the heaven and the earth. And each of the 7 eons, we have somebody famous. In the first eon, Adam. Second eon, Noah. Third eon, Abraham. Fourth eon, David and Solomon. The fifth eon, Yahushua. Supposedly the sixth eon is the church, though I got a feeling before we're all done, somebody's going to stand up. And there's a lot of sevens in the Bible. I wish we had a little more time to go over them, but here we go. The spectrum of the prism. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, purple. Seven churches. Seven plagues. And seven classifications of the Bible. Interesting word, darkness in Greek is skotos. Added up, it comes to 666. Have you ever thought of what the 666th chapter of the Bible is? It's Ecclesiastes 7. Another word, Hebrew word, yithron, means to excel. I think there's a computer program called Excel. Excellency or profit, which is what we seem to have these guys doing a lot of, making a profit. And sure enough, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun, S-U-N. And I checked it, and that's literal. Oh, they're seeing the sun all right. Sun worship came out of Egypt, and they're still doing it. And when we want excellency, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So to summarize, the infinity code has three assumptions: that all Hebrew letters have a numeric value, which they do. Therefore, if all the Hebrew letters have numeric values, all the Hebrew words have numeric values. And if you take the value of the Hebrew word and go to that chapter in the Bible, you will find one or more of the following: the actual word in the text, a synonym or sometimes an antonym, or a discussion of the word or its concept in the text. This is and I'm glad Shannon has been here for all of it. I think, yeah, we went.
I'm here.
An hour and a half. That's probably about as fast as I've ever done this.
Good teaching tonight. I want to thank all for joining us tonight. And Brother Tom, I want you, if you would, can you give us an update on Professor Tom? When was the last time, Major Tom, when was the last time you heard from him?
Well, it's been a few days now, but I did get a report from him yesterday.
What did
And
he
that's
say?
Up on his website, aliveontheedge.com.
Okay, we can go to aliveontheedge.com.
And
excellent.
And then I have a special page for Volcano, for the Volcano. And if you go to the front of his website, I put a notice up there about what's going on. And towards the bottom of that notice, you'll see a special page for the Volcano.
Get over there and check it out. Also, Tom, your main website again for those that are just listening to the audio only?
Okay. It's whitestonefoundation.org. And that's where I have this, and once we get all this material up, we will put this on the website and you can watch it there. Also BibleCodes.co, AntichristWatch.org. If you're looking to publish a book, you have a manuscript, WhiteCottagePublishing.com. And we also have 21st Century Warfare Prayers.com. That's in there. And if you look at some of the other slideshows, and I think before I, when I put these back up, I'm going to put the listing of all the websites on here for everyone to look at, because we have the book 21st Century Warfare Prayers, and it's $6.95. We kept the price just as low as we could. And I think with a lot of the Bible code discoveries I've had in the last year, we will probably have a revision later this summer, probably late in the summer. But if, you know, if you have questions on this, you could write me. My email address is tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org.
Fantastic. My brother, another excellent job. We'll have this up in the archive a little bit later in audio, and then I've got all the video. I'm trying to figure out how to process those, and I'm going to put them up online. But I'll send you a copy in the meantime of both. Brother Tom, we'll
yeah,
see you next time.
Yeah, if you need me to help with the video editing, I can.
We'll get it worked out.
Because it's sort of, yeah, because I can, I do a little bit of video editing, as you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe someday in the future I'll be able to put some videos inside some of these presentations.
Well, you do a professional
job. Because obviously
YouTube
didn't appreciate it. appreciate it when I did it.
YouTube didn't like any of us. Sheila Zelinsky just lost her account, I saw up on her Facebook. God help,
oh, no.
Help us all. Oh, yeah, they deleted it. We lost ours after 10 years.
Oh.
I'm making my third attempt. They got me twice so far. My third attempt, I've got like 3 videos up there. That's it. See how long that one flies.
Tom, ouch.
Get some rest over there. I know it's getting late. We'll see you next time, brother.
Okay, thank you very much.
God bless you. Friends, we're going to close today.
And I thought you might like to see the background I used for my normal video look.
I like that. Where is that?
That is actually, that's in Trinidad, Colorado. I took the picture a couple of years.
Ah. What's the weather like, by the way, right now?
Well, we are getting snow.
Right now? Really?
Yes, we are.